Spirit Radio Podcasts.
So I know our next guest is going to help us with that task of finding hope and sustaining it. I have Pastor Noel Kenny from the Liberty Church in Dublin City on the line. Noel, how are you?
How are you, Wendy? How is everybody? It's good to be here with you.
Thanks for joining us in the programme today. How have you been getting on over the last number of months, Noel?
Well, it's been strange, like, for everyone. It's been strange for us, not just as a family, but, like, trying to navigate as a church through the different challenges. And, you know, it's been difficult in some cases, and in other cases, we've been connected in loads of other ways, you know, on phone, on Zoom. It's not the same as, you know, being able to stand face to face, but it's, you know, we're making the best of what we have.
Yeah, and trying to make the most of it, as you say. I know one thing, Noel, that you always do is a big Christmas initiative. What is the initiative, and how have you been, or have you been able to do it at all this year?
Wow, well, we have. It's called the Great Big Giveaway. We take it from John 3:16, actually. That was the greatest big giveaway of all time, that God gave his only begotten son. And we give out this year just under about 14 hampers, filled hampers, under 2,000 hampers we've done. And we were able to help like 2,000 families, just about 2,000 families, with enough food for 5 days over Christmas. For a family of four, 5 days over Christmas of food. And so we just basically, it was done Saturday, but it's been going on since October. We've been packing food and buying food and raising funds, and I finished my last hamper yesterday, driving to give it out. So it was great, an army of people come and pack and fundraise, and then an army of people come and deliver on Saturday, which was just gone the 19th. And it was great just being able to go to people's doors, knock, you know, be some light in the midst of a dark season for many people. And it was just great. It's exhausting in some ways, but great.
Yeah, and I'd imagine there's probably no more demand this year than maybe other years because of the year that we've had.
You're dead right, Wendy. And we last year we done 1,500. That was our intention this year, and but we just added and believed for 2,000, so that people that were losing jobs, that extra 500 would hopefully go to helping another 500 families. And it was great to be able to get that done.
And we're talking about hope today, and just as you're talking about kind of knocking on the door and delivering food to a family in need, I'd imagine that the person on the other side of the door, obviously you're fulfilling a practical need in terms of the food, but probably giving them hope as well, because even that thought that someone else is thinking about them hopefully lifts that person's spirits.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so we've been praying for the hampers for a long, long time in regards to on the other end of those hampers, of those beans, that chicken, that rice, that pasta. We got that, just people on the other side of this. And so we called them. A young girl from a school, St. Kevin's, in Clogger Road there, a young girl a couple of years ago that was helping us, a student, said, this is not food in a bag, this is love in a bag. And we've sort of coined that phrase ever since, that and my goal and my hope would be that every person that received would somehow know the amount of people involved in getting that one hamper to them would result in them knowing they're not on their own, that someone out there cares enough to do all of this just so that on that Saturday a bag of love could be delivered to their home. And what we said to the team as well, to walk slowly away from houses, because for some people it might have been the only time they've seen people for a while, or, you know, as you say, people are down and people not feeling great. Just to be there, just to be some type of smiling face, and just let them know that somebody cares, even though we don't get to see their face. If I was lifting hampers out the vans and cars on Saturday, you know, and then I delivered some late in the evening that were stragglers, you know, some odds and ends of places from all over the city. But then just bringing some light into their face, was our team comes back delighted.
Yeah, and I love that, love in a bag. And, you know, we're talking about hope today, and I think a lot of people might be feeling hopeless, but do you find, and you know, there's been so much even research done on people who volunteer and who give and who do what God calls us to do, to reach out to others. Do you find when you're walking away from those houses that it's actually given you hope by giving it to somebody else?
Wow, that's a good one. You know, the hampers for us, And it could be practical in any other way for other people. Like that's just what we were doing just this weekend. So, but people allow you into their lives very easily, and you walk away just knowing that you've done something. Like we don't put anything up on, you know, we don't take pictures of ourselves and put it up on Facebook and all that with hampers and all that. You know, like the only people we want to like it is the people that are receiving them. And we're trying to make it as selfless as we can, because like it's a great thing to get, you know, your picture with 2,000 hampers behind you all packed, and you know, everyone saying you're great. But we sort of done away with that a couple of years ago to make it as pure as we can, that it's just for people that are receiving them. And that joy that gives you, it doesn't matter who else is around, walking away is like it's something, yeah. It's something in, you know, the Bible says that, you know, it's better to give than to receive. That's for a reason. I don't think you're any more like God the Father as when you're giving in the purest sense and representing Him in people's lives. And yeah, Wendy, I have to be honest that, I walked away my couple of days brokenhearted when I seen where people are at, people that I deliver to, and I'm sure others would say, happy to receive the hampers, but in the same breath, people stuck in, like, it's like
in a poverty cycle, in a poverty trap. Yeah. How does that, people might be listening to that, Noel, and say, how can you be a man of faith? How can you talk about God when, yeah, it's great that you're trying to meet the need, but at the same time, you're seeing the suffering.
Yeah. And well, I tell you, a story might help us with that one, right? I delivered on Sunday after we'd done service. I had, you know, some straggler type, what we call, they're the last hampers to go are usually like from Ballybock to Ballymun to, you know, Baldoyle to Ballybrack. Like, they're all these like ones and twos where others would go out in teams to do them. So I took them, and I was up in a place, I won't say where, but it was a women's refuge centre where I met this girl who was absolutely racked with fear that this stranger, who she didn't know who I was delivering the hamper and had the address and a number of where she was. And so an agency would have put that in, you know. And I says, she was really freaked, and that was making me a bit freaked that this woman was so full of fear. And I was like, look, your ticket gets ripped up. Nobody ever sees this again. We destroy them. This doesn't go anywhere. It's not on a computer. And I says, look, can I just say for a minute, it doesn't matter where it came from on earth. I says, maybe look that God is looking after you this Christmas. And that was one. I was in another house of a young man who told me that he says if things didn't change for him, he was going to check out this world on his next birthday. And here I was standing with a hamper, and I was able to tell him my story, because he told him his story, how Jesus came in and rescued me, and he took me out of a place, and he took me and put me in a different place. And I kid you not, right? His birthday was, my birthday was yesterday, and his birthday was yesterday as well. And his name was Noel, and my name was Noel. Can you imagine these two people standing in the room, the exact same birthday, and he was going to check out because he'd no hope. And I said, but Noel, there is hope. Jesus came into the world at this time of the world where a weary world is pining in their sin, but there's an opportunity for joy and to rejoice because the Savior has come. And me and him said a prayer where he asked Jesus into his life. He gave Jesus his life, and that was on Sunday. And yesterday morning, myself and Noel went out for our birthday breakfast, and he was a different man yesterday. And so being there brings hope, you know, and that, imagine what that does for me. I'm going around going, well, you wouldn't believe what just happened in that house yesterday. So bringing hope, doing something practical brings hope to other people, and it gives us, there's a reverb for me in that I get to rejoice in this man's life on a way to being transformed.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. But finally, just to ask, you know, there's people listening, I'm sure they'd be really encouraged by that story, but at the same time they might just feel hopeless today, especially with just lockdowns being announced and all that sort of stuff. Can we stir up hope, or what would be your advice to that person who feels hopeless?
A couple of things. You know, we're all different people, and we're walking different walks, so I hope some of these little practicals that I've had, like, pray, ask Jesus to help you, ask Jesus to show you because he is the hope of the world. And it's like, it might seem like, oh no, like I've prayed 100 times. Believe me, this next time could be the moment that your breakthrough comes, or light, or life, or hope, or peace, or joy enters into a bitter situation. Another one for me is, you know, the way we're told in church of all different kinds, we're told to remember, you know, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. You know, we call it Holy Communion, we call it breaking bread, we call it the Lord's Supper. People have different names. But if you just even think of that, I practice this, right? And I go, you know, so what am I remembering? That Jesus actually came. He loved me so much. God loved me so much that he sent Jesus. And Jesus came so that my sins, my guilt, my shame could be forgiven. Now I'm infusing a bit of hope into places of shame or guilt or fear. And not only that, he done it because he loves me and he wants to accept me and bring me into what he has for me, into my original design. And not only that we're remembering that he overcame the sin and death in the grave. And not only that he rose again and seated at the right hand of the Father in full victory. And not only that he's coming back. And when I practice that in the morning time, I'm like, I can't help but be joyful. I can't help but be hopeful because of all of the things that has infused in them few moments. And you know what? God's Word, you know, the Bible, the Holy Bible. You know, when you guys on Spirit read out one of those passages or scriptures, it's like, that's not just empty words. That's God's Word that is able to be infused into bitter situations. Well, we had a death in church of a lovely young lady, Tracy, just about 6 weeks ago, at a computer, working on her law degree in Trinity College, a mother, a wife, a mother of three kids, and just gone in the blink of an eye. And you can imagine the devastation of her family, the pain, like the shock. And in the midst of all of that, her young son, Mikey, sent me a scripture. He's 12. He sent me a scripture from the Bible. And it says this, that my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. And he says, no, this gives me hope. And I thought, if that young boy, this was like the next day, if that young boy could find hope in the midst of this, through God's Word, I would tell every listener, get into a Bible, listen to the scriptures that's being read out, and just say, God, show me how real these can be.
And help me. An incredible, wow, what faith of that young boy. Well, no, thank you so much just for that insight today, and we're wishing you a happy and blessed Christmas.
Same to you and all your listeners. Have a great one. God bless.
That's Pastor Noel Kenny from the Liberty Church in Dublin. Spirit. You know, the travel restrictions have been so difficult for all of us. My children's grandparents, one set of them live in another county, so we haven't seen them since the summer. But they're particularly difficult for people who are from outside Ireland but call this country their home. Well, my next guest is one of those people, and she is our Christmas countdown guest today. Visual artist Marta Golovoska is joining me on the programme now. Morning, Marta. How are you?
Good morning, I'm good. How are you?
Well, tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to Ireland and the work that you do here.
So, as you mentioned, my name is Marta and I came to Ireland in 2006. So I've been here, 14 years now. I've been working in art as an artist and art educator. So I work on various programs in school, and in community settings, teaching art.
Lovely. And obviously, you're proud to call Ireland your home now.
Yes, definitely. When I come back home to Poland, I always think about coming home. So, definitely.
Which is lovely. Well, let's get to some of your Christmas countdown questions this morning. So tell us a Christmas memory from your childhood, Marta.
So I always enjoyed Christmas, pre-Christmas rush with my Nana cooking and baking. She taught me a lot of tricks around preparing traditional Polish meals. So yeah, that was definitely my favorite part of Christmas.
So what's it, to give us an idea of a traditional Polish meal then at Christmas, Marta?
Yeah, so first to serve would be a borscht, which is a red beetroot soup with something like dumplings called uszka, which translates like ears, little ears.
And we were asking people yesterday their favourite Christmas food, and we got a text in talking about the beetroot soup. What about, we're going to ask you now about just a low light from 2020, Marta.
I don't want to dwell too much about low life because we've all experienced so much this year, but it's definitely the fact that I couldn't travel back to Poland to see my family, and I haven't seen them since last Christmas, so yeah, that's definitely...
It's a long time, and I think a lot of people listening feeling exactly the same, whether they have relatives or families in other countries that can't come home, or where they're from outside of Ireland and they can't go home. What about a highlight of 2020?
So myself and my husband, we managed to maintain our jobs, so that's a good outcome of this year. And we finally, after many years, got a dog that became a family member. That's a highlight for the whole family.
Oh, lovely. What's the dog called?
Her name, she came to us with the name. Her name is Janice, like Janice Joplin.
Oh, lovely, lovely. So you got a new family member. What
yes,
about a game? A game you'd recommend for us this Christmas?
Okay, so the game I thought gave us loads of great moments is Dixit.
Okay, how does that work?
So you can play with three or more players. The more, the better. So there's no really limit. Everyone gets a turn in telling a story based on a card they draw. All the rest of the contestants have to guess which card was a base for the story. So I think it's a great game because it's multi-generational.
And everybody can join in. They're the best games, aren't they? So you won't obviously be able to go home, Marta, but how are you going to be celebrating Christmas this year?
So I'm with my husband and my children at home. We didn't plan anything because of, unknown. We don't want to meet too many people following restrictions. And we'll be just enjoying peace and quiet time together.
Yeah, which in itself might actually be a hidden blessing, having peace and quiet time together. What about a hope that you have for 2021?
So I definitely hope that I will be able to travel and see my relatives.
Yeah, to be back in Poland again. Well, Marta, thank you so much for just talking to us on the programme today. And we wish you and your family a very happy and blessed Christmas.
Thank you very much, and same to you. Thanks for having me.
That was our Christmas Countdown guest today, Marta Golubowska. And if you want to check out her art, you can go to her website. I will spell it. GOLUBOWSKA.weebly.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.